Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattel. Real quick, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button to get notifications when a new episode drops. Hello! I have a super special guest today. Her name is Rachel. Say hi, Rachel.
Hello, hello.
How do we know? First of all, let me just say this. I keep saying I'm so excited that everyone's here. Obviously, I'm super excited because I get to talk to amazing people just at a one-on-one level, and it's very special to me. Rachel is one of those that is, I believe we say this. Tell me if I'm wrong. We're like spirit animals.
Absolutely.
First of all, I met her through organizing. She reached out to me, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But the more I talk to her, she's not only a friend, and obviously I help her when she is, you know, in desperate need,
which is quite often,
which is a lot of fire drills. But we click, we get along. Our daughters are a year apart. They've hung out. It's really special. It's really great. And I just wanted to have a conversation with her and just talk about all the things we like to talk about
and just unpack everything. Ooh,
let's get it in.
Okay, tell everybody about yourself very quickly. I mean, not very quickly, but you don't have to get, you know, whatever you're comfortable saying. You're married.
I'm married. I have a daughter. I think I check a different age box than you. I might be a little bit older.
Are we the same? I think we're the same. Your footwear says differently.
I'm wearing Easy Spirit shoes at the moment because it's been a hard life. No, I'm kidding. I work in post-production. I fell into that career about 25 years ago, and I have been doing that ever since. It's a rough time for those of us who know post-production right now, but we're working it out.
You've been doing that a while, right?
Yeah, 25
years.
Yeah,
25 years. And I get to hear some fun conversations, too, which are great. I'm not listening to the conversations, but I get to hear
the best one was when I was on the Zoom, and you were helping me with my closet, and I heard you in the background. That's why I fucking quit corporate America.
Yes. I did.
She was like,
I did.
I'm sick. I can't come in. I have an aneurysm. Yes. And I got in a car accident, and my pet tiger died.
And I looked at a grave.
It was a rough day.
It was a rough day. And I'm like, and that's it. I'm like across two bedrooms. And I'm like, and that is exactly why I quit corporate
and
America.
And I just had to sit there and say, I'm so sorry. I hope it all works well for you.
And inside your closet, I'm literally stabbing myself with your stilettos you don't wear anymore.
But they are pretty.
They're so pretty. There's 1,000 things I love about Rachel, but this is one thing that no matter what we're talking about in terms of organizing, some of the reasons why I'm there, some of the reasons why we have to change our, you know, whatever, in terms of a business thing, she'll look at me in the heart, in the depths of the soul of something serious, and she'll go, Jennifer, you're so pretty. And I'm like, God, I hate you.
It's a true story. When she's cutting me deep, counting the 157 dresses that is a direct representation of my low self-esteem, and mentions something, I look into her beautiful blue eyes and tell her how pretty she is.
I know. And then I smile like a goofball. And I'm like, damn you, Rachel. Fuck. Rachel. Okay, fine. I am pretty. No, just kidding.
And then the moment leaves,
and I'm like, all right, fine. And then I'll say it again. God, you're so pretty. And then I have to remember that
it's fine. I love hanging out with her and making fun of her and razzing her. And we're going to razz her about her shoes. I'm going to tell you that right now. She's had some foot issues.
I picked these out on purpose. I actually sought after these Easy Spirit shoes.
The funny thing is when I first met Rachel, I don't remember. I want to say about 6 years, maybe 7 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah. So when I met her, it was all 5-inch heels. It was all the things. Now, I'm not saying she wore them, but it was all the things. I mean, she has a closet that is she has great stuff in her closet. It's way too much. We'll talk about that in a minute. But her heels and all this stuff. And then I noticed, I'm like, oh, she wears a lot of flip-flops or a lot of flats. And, you know, I get it. We've had kids. You know, we don't do what we do in our past life. And if we wear heels, it's probably from the car to the door of the
restaurant. They're valet shoes.
Yeah, they're valet shoes. They're beautiful. They're very expensive. And you're like, and then like about 6 months ago, she tells me, I mean, there's been some moments and some shoes. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Because I've noticed your style change. And then she said, Jennifer, I'm having some really hard times with my feet. I'm like, oh, this story's Phil is not going to be good. And then she says, I'm going to have to buy some Crocs.
It was a dark day.
We had a moment of silence.
Dark day.
I had a tear because
I had many.
Some of you know, and I've mentioned this, and I know people who love Crocs, fine, whatever. But really, they're for children.
I do not love Crocs. No. I want this to be clear. I make fun of people in
we
Crocs.
We make fun of people.
You look like a Sasquatch.
You look like you just put your loaf of bread into shoes with holes. And it's not okay. But for little kids, it's so cute. And older people,
it's really not even.
But when they're little and you're like, fine. And then you said, I have to buy Crocs.
I did.
And I really had a moment of sadness. And then she sent me a picture.
I do want to point out that they matched my sweatsuit perfectly.
Which one? Which sweatsuit?
That's the story for another time.
We don't have enough time to talk about those sweatsuits. They did. They really did. You know,
I styled the fuck out of those Crocs. Are we allowed to curse?
Yes.
Okay, I styled the fuck out of those Crocs.
Have you met me?
It matched the tone, the look perfectly. Now, it wasn't my tone or look. I was in someone else's body. But it worked. I rocked the heck out of those Crocs.
Another thing she said to me.
With my Free City $5 million sweatsuit.
Yes.
I look good in those Crocs.
Good. Your toes were singing. Another thing she said to me one time, and she's like, Jennifer,
so sad.
My back is really hurting. I sneezed in bed, and now I can't really walk. And I looked at her, and I was like, I feel that's rock bottom.
It gets worse. That wasn't rock bottom.
This wasn't even that reason.
You have it wrong. The sneeze is when I pee.
Oh.
And I've perfected that. Like, you'll see me walking and I'll sneeze and my leg automatically, I don't even think about it. My brain signals my leg to like just clench to catch the pee. This is true. This is what happens when you're in your late 40s. Disrespectfully so. But no, what happened was I was sleeping and I threw out my hip in bed while asleep.
Oh,
that was what happened. I just woke up with a fucking broken hip.
Yeah, she couldn't walk for a while.
I could not walk for a while.
And I was like, make the injury be worth something. And you're like, I was asleep.
I was asleep. I was not skydiving. I was not dancing.
You were not Mission Impossible.
It was not
the final
Mission
reckoning
Impossible.
That I saw the other day. It made me think, God, I never did anything of any kind of danger.
No, but when I fell asleep in that movie, because it was 4 hours long.
It was really fucking
that's
long.
That's when I broke up woke up with the broken hip. So it all ties
Did you see
together.
It?
No.
Oh, it was really long.
It's really long. All his movies are
No, but this one, even David and I looked at each other. There's this one part. It was like it was like 30 minutes. And I'm like, we could have nailed this one down in 12. Like, come on. Anyways, that's beside the point. Yeah, you have the most ailments. And I've watched her. I've never really watched your wardrobe shrink, though, because that's why I stay in business. I believe
yes,
you are
welcome.
My sole reason I stay in business. And the funny thing is, I hope we can say this, and if not, we don't have to keep it. But when I first came to your house and did a
The lie. This whole relationship is built on a lie.
It was built on a lie.
This was built on
and
a lie.
And it was a lie that she
We can
told,
say this, but my husband now cannot hear this podcast. It's your choice.
It was such a lie. I want to say it though, because it was so great. Like, I'm at the door, I meet her, it's great. She's like, my husband thinks you're my cousin's friend who's
No.
I don't even know.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
this is why you should tell the story.
I got this. Our garage is ridiculous. It was supposed to be a man cave, and now it is just a clusterfuck of every single hobby Gary has ever had. I mean, stacked with screws from 1972 to Pete. Like, it's just, it is a shit show. There's like a pathway to make it a man cave. So you were my friend from work who was starting her own business.
That's right.
And was coming over to do like for promotional, that whatever, to do this like for free to take pictures because Gary could not know that I was hiring somebody to clean the garage.
That's right. Yes.
And which he never allowed you to do anyway.
Nope.
He was like, absolutely the fuck you will not step foot in my garage.
And Gary's great, but he will not budge one inch.
No. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just do my closet then since you're here. But he thought we were friends from work. And I found you on a Facebook. Magnolia Park Mamas.
Yes,
shout out to Magnolia Park Mamas.
Yes, yes. That is great.
And then best friends from day one.
Oh, yeah. Instant connection.
Instantly.
Instant connection. We talk outside of work. I just adore
her. Our kids love each other.
They love each other. They just, you know, don't get to see each other. Obviously, they're not in the same school as much as we'd like. And we have, you know, other things going on. But she's... We just connected right away, but I just remember her like, you're going to tell him that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, like, what?
Like, write
it down.
By the way.
Can you write this down on my hand?
We work together. You work at Ascent Media.
You don't charge anything. And you're here. And if he asks, you just blink once. That's all. You don't need to answer him. Yeah.
And he still, to this day, six something years later, will not let you touch his garage.
No, he will not.
And you have done, I don't even know how many times we've done my closet in the bedroom. My bathroom, my office closet, my kitchen, Eliana's room, 5711 times, the guest hall closet. I mean,
everything.
You come and you help my life, and then I disregard all of the beautiful advice at 2 a.m. when I go shopping and fill it back up.
And then she will text me a 911 fire, and it's usually because visitors are coming, and which is fine. I mean, that's a lot of times what motivation is, right? Or you're like people. I talked about this one time before. Like people were like garage. It was all about the garages because everyone was getting a Tesla and they needed to park.
They needed a charger.
And I was like, all right, I guess I'm doing a garage every day for the next 2 months because that's when everyone was buying Teslas. So it worked.
It's usually when my mom's coming because if she sees one thing out of place, she thinks that I'm depressed.
Perfect.
Which I am, clearly. So she's right.
She doesn't know you.
She's absolutely right.
She doesn't know you.
But because of you, she thinks I'm blissfully happy.
Like, your office looks amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Rachel's doing great.
Sometimes she'll call me and be like, oh, I really need help with my office. And then I'll open up like, what happened? She's like, Jennifer.
That's when I tell her how beautiful she is.
That's what
she looks so pretty.
You are so pretty. Thank you. Thank you. I know.
Which is true. And Bendy. Shout out to Pilates.
Pilates. I know. I haven't really got to talk about Pilates. But you know, because you've seen me, that I go. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes.
And I'm trying to get Pilates owners and instructors to come and talk to me because that's changed my life. Totally changed my life.
I love that for you.
Yeah. I mean, just it's so good mentally. It's so good mentally for me. That's where I save thousands of dollars on therapy. Because I work out or take that time to just...
I'm so happy you found something.
I did. I really love it.
I really have to not do shopping as that thing.
No. You're going to do Pilates. If I can become an instructor, you're going to do Pilates with me. I mean, I can teach you now, but it may not be 100% legit. It'll be like, let's rest.
I'm in.
Let's rest. Let's be in the fetal position and suck our thumb. It's great. Okay, so your work, your house, we met through organizing.
Yes.
We talk about all of your clothes. We talk about what you love to do at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I get to see all these clothes. And sometimes she'll just send me pictures. And I'm like, that is so pretty. Where are you going to put that? And then we have to make a system.
I did buy an extra closet rack.
You did.
Much to your dismay.
God, I was trying.
I was
like,
really proud
of myself.
You're
going to return this motherfucker. She's like, nope, I'm not. Devil. And when Rachel doesn't want to do something, so if I do something in her closet or if I'm organizing an area, but it's usually when it's her closet or maybe her office, it's when it's her stuff. If she does not, like, I want to do it 100%. She's like, don't touch that. I don't want to deal with it. It's going to make me, like, I can't.
I have a limit. I have a threshold.
She has a limit. And I'm like, but you're not the one doing it. And then it'll be perfect. You're like, nope, I don't care. So then sometimes there's a section. Usually it's like a shitty section, right? Like jewelry.
It's like the jewelry
where everything goes to die.
Right.
And then I'll be like, okay, for the last 2 years, we've been looking at this. We're diving in today. Yeah. So that is hilarious. So her daughter.
But I do make rapid fire decisions, and I am a very good purger. The problem is it's rinse and repeat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have purged my closet. And
to the point where you should have nothing.
100 times.
100 times over.
And I fill it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem.
It is a problem. And it's.
And I'm not buying Shein dresses here.
No. You're not going to Temu.
I'm not going to Temu. It's no fast fashion.
Which one of my clients told me the other day they bought furniture from Temu. And I was like, have you got it yet? They're like, no, not yet. I'm like,
it's going to be dollhouse furniture.
I'm imagining tiny fairy furniture that when you sneeze, it will just turn to matches.
Or you'll pee when you sneeze and it won't be waterproof.
Yes. And that's what you do. Yeah, she told me that. She's like, yeah, I got some outdoor furniture from Temu. I'm like, outdoor furniture? With all the weather,
it's going to be like the Three Little Pigs.
Oh, my God.
It's going to go.
All I was thinking is, I'm just imagining. I'm like, oh, that's great. You got to let me know how it works out. No. In my head, I'm like, I feel that your $12 is going to be wasted. You're $12.99 and the $74 you spent in shipping to get it.
I got screwed with buying something and not paying attention to the shipping. I got Eliana. Is Charlotte into those stupid, what are they called? What are they? Those little monsters? Little monster dolls?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. I bought one for $35 and accidentally paid $80 in shipping. And they wouldn't let me cancel it.
Stop
from
it.
Pop Mart or something. Yeah.
$80 in shipping? You could have got... was it in China?
I'm sure. It's
you could have swam there.
It's probably still there. I don't think I have it yet.
Still in China.
What are they called?
$80. That's the worst. I did that on Amazon one time. I wasn't paying attention.
Because it's the 2 a.m. shopping.
And I bought... like, it was like a deal on this like... it was some for Charlotte's playroom to store like books and stuff. And it was like, let's say $200. And I was like, great. The shipping was $200.
Yeah.
So I'm like thinking, I just got this amazing thing for $200. Had drawers, had shelves, like all this stuff. And the shipping was as much as the thing. Yeah. And I was like, motherfucker.
That's where they get you.
They fucking get you every time. It's always the shipping. Or when you're shopping and like you're putting stuff in your cart, which I do all the time. I just don't click buy because I just, it's a
right.
good thing
yes,
for me.
Yes,
it saves
yes.
me thousands and millions. But the worst is it's like, oh, it costs to ship. They're not going to give me free shipping. Never mind.
Yeah, forget it.
You could have spent 2 hours putting all that shit in your cart. Your total's $300, but
it's $10.99. That's where I draw the line.
You're like, motherfucker.
That's where I draw the line.
I don't want any of your stupid shit, Victoria's Secret.
Exactly.
I don't want any of your crap, Temu. oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Okay, so tell me something that you want to tell me.
Well, no, you're going to have to be more specific than that. Not doing it. Absolutely the fuck not. Going to have a sip of my rosé.
Rosé all day.
Thank you, Ernie.
I text her this morning and I'm like, hey, because I know that, you know, she talks a lot. She's not nervous to talk at all. We talk forever. But, you know, you're sitting here and you're like, okay, whatever. So I was like, do you want me to get like rosé? And she didn't really answer. And then I'm like, what about those little seltzers? You know, but I didn't tell her this. I said like a vodka seltzer. And she's like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Why? No, I'm not there yet. And I'm like, no, I didn't mean like a big bottle. It was like a little thing. So I just said, let's have one drink just to like, you know, chill out a little bit. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. So a question for you, and I know we've mentioned it before outside of, because we're both kind of dealing with it. Eliana's, you know, 10, Charlotte's 9. And, you know, is the girl issues,
it's crazy.
The Mean Girl issues. And we say Mean Girls because that movie was fantastic,
that
right?
That movie was fantastic. It was based off of a book.
Yes.
Which I have, and I've been reading and trying to figure out like an Eliana circle, like who is who, but it's really true. And our kids are in elementary school. Eliana just finished fourth actually yesterday. And, so Charlotte's going to finish third in a minute.
Oh, no, she already finished last week.
Oh, God, it's so early.
It's so early.
I feel like I didn't expect these type of relationship craziness to happen until like junior high, maybe.
Right.
Which isn't even a thing now. It's middle school.
I know, which I still say junior high. And Charlotte looks at me like, what are you even saying? And I'm like, shut up.
But like these it's social so dynamics, it's, so young. It's young. And these girls, some of them are strategic. Like, I won't say any names, but Eliana has a friendship circle. And for whatever reason, Eliana worships this one girl. So think of Regina for Mean Girls. Like, this is absolutely that scenario. Eliana looks up to her. She just adores her. And then there's another friend that is kind of, I don't know, Eliana and her are in competition for, we'll call her Regina's attention. And they're constantly at odds. And Eliana's, you know, doing her best to navigate this. But we come to find out from the teacher who uncovered all of this that Regina, Mean Girl, is literally telling Eliana that this girl is talking bad about her and telling the other girl that Eliana's talking bad about her, like pitting them against each other.
Oh, my God.
And Regina is, like, scheduling time with them. Okay, you can be my friend from Thursday 2 to 5, and you can be my friend from Wednesday, taking appointments for friendships. Like, what the hell is this? I tell Eliana, it should be easy to be somebody's friend. You should feel good when you're around them and be able to be yourself, and you shouldn't have to walk on tiptoes and worry about if somebody likes you today or what their mood is. And it's so young to be worried about this.
It really is. And it honestly, I didn't realize my reaction to just like, I honestly just like go and cry in my bedroom because I'm like, when Charlotte is so upset.
I know. And I want to beat up a fourth grader.
Oh, God, I do too. You know, David said we have a situation. And again, I'm not going to name names either. But we had a situation about less than 2 months ago. And it's still a situation, to be honest with you. But it was heightened. And David goes, I swear to God, this is his solution because he's a dude. He's like, I think Charlotte has about 10 pounds on her. She can take her.
She can take her.
And I started laughing because I was sobbing. Like after, you know, after she went to bed and after
the girls can be so mean.
It really is.
Make clicks and then they exclude one of them and they don't tell them why.
And I know that stuff happened. I know that stuff happened when we were kids. I know this is not, but my digging deeper, I think, is I really feel. Well, first of all, I feel it's super young, like we've mentioned.
It's super
young. But I'm like, and like you've said before, too, is like the influence, what they are doing, even the games they're playing, that type of thing. But I really feel social media.
It's absolutely destroying them.
I think it's destroying everything. Honestly.
For so many reasons. Not to mention just complete access to things that people shouldn't have access to. But as far as with the girls and things like that, you can't turn it off. At school, school ends. Then you go home and you're with your family. That's the way it should be. But now with, you know, Roblox and different games, there's chatting and there's talking and there's these group chats. And yes, Eliana has an iPad and, you know, I probably need to limit it more. But it was a couple months ago. And I'm usually pretty good about reading all the texts, and I know all of the people that, you know, they have to be vetted through me. I manage the contact list, and I read the texts. But I didn't read the deleted texts. Jen, my heart sank. So, Regina, right? We know who we're talking about now.
Regina.
No, she has an older sister.
Oh, no. Regina.
Regina. They are all at the same school. And Eliana actually used to be really close with both of them. But I guess there was a falling out or something over slime, by the way, whatever. But older sister was literally bullying Eliana nonstop through these texts. And Eliana, in her credit, handled it very well. It's just a misunderstanding. Please stop texting me. You're being mean. You're hurting my feelings. Like, please leave me alone. And was deleting all these texts. And older sister was going hard at my baby. And just telling her, you know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're a liar, you're a scammer. Ooh. Like, it was, and Eliana didn't even tell me. She was just deleting them. And there's even a video of Eliana, no face it, but just her voice, like, pleading her to stop and to leave her alone. And it broke my heart. And I called the mom, and I asked her, and I said, listen, you know, I know the girls are friends, and I know, you know, friendships have ups and downs, but I just uncovered like 600 deleted texts from Eliana's with you know, your daughter being kind of cruel to my baby, and I would love for you to take a look at them and read them and let me know your thoughts. And she just totally gaslit me. And she's like, no, I read all the texts. Everything's fine. Things are misunderstood in text. I'm like, it's not misunderstood when you're telling my daughter that she's a scammer and she's ugly and she's this and she's that. And my heart broke that Eliana was dealing with this without even telling me. That and just deleting heart. It.
I'm going to like cry about
it. It was horrible.
I know.
And these girls are, older sister is not much older. Older sister is 12.
God.
And like, what is a 12-year-old doing with a 10-year-old just being so blatantly mean? And you know what puts insult to injury? She's one of the only other kids that looks like my daughter at school.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So it just, it broke my heart.
No, this is like, I didn't understand how I would I didn't think I'd need to plan this. I mean, you don't have a book. They don't tell you. I mean, there's things that you know, like don't kill your baby when it's a baby and make sure you feed it. And
you try really
hard.
You know,
but then there's some things where you're like, no one told me this. And mine started with, that is actually really heartbreaking. And I probably am going to cry in a minute because I could feel it. But that makes me really sad. But, and
The fact that she deleted it. And just tried to be stoic and take it on her own.
And just not say anything. And you're like the closest thing, you and your husband are just there. And even if she didn't want to tell you, because maybe she thought you were going to be like really, really sad. And she thought, she didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything.
She just dealt with it.
But you know what she did while she dealt with it? She did it in a so much better way than I would have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did.
She kept the high road. She didn't, you know, she did it
because
so much
that
better.
That is a total representation of who you and your husband are, though. So think about
sometimes,
most of the time.
We have friars too.
Of course. We have friars too. But no, think about just what you told me about the mom. You called the mom. Oh no, I've already read the text. Everything's fine. Not let me check it out.
Like,
even if she didn't think what you were saying was something she wanted to even ingest into her life, she didn't just dismissed it. So that tells me, and I hate, you know, parent shaming. I don't want to do any of that. We're all doing our own thing. We're all trying our best.
And it's hard. It's hard on the best day. It's hard on the easiest day.
It is.
But I always tell Eliana, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But like, I don't care if you get all A's and B's. I don't care if, you know, about any of that stuff. I care if you try your best. And what I care about the most is kindness, period, above all. You work your butt off at school, and I respect how much you care about it and what you try. But all that, I don't care about the grade. I care about your integrity, and I care about the way you treat people. And, you know, to know that she is not always treated with the same respect that she tries to give everybody else, it breaks my heart. And not to mention, these are all COVID kids, too. They started school in the pandemic. They started school not knowing how to interact. So these social skills that they're developing and learning, they started at a disadvantage. They started behind a screen, behind a mask.
Absolutely.
And that's why they're using screens so early, because we didn't have a choice.
Yeah, you didn't. And that is very true. I didn't think about it until right this minute. See what happens when you have a couple sips of rosé.
Genius level.
No, actually, I didn't think about it either, because Charlotte was in preschool. I mean, she was in preschool and, you know, whatever. So and you were home and you were trying to do stuff. So, of course, here's your tablet. Watch a video. Do this. And I get that. Charlotte, similar situation. Not when I say it wasn't deleted text or anything. But what I mean is there was a moment where Pandora's box happened. She was trying to learn her Bible verse and she wasn't getting it. And she had a fucking meltdown. Okay. And we're sitting there, and I think I've told this story before, but I don't know if you've heard it. I don't know if you're my number one subscriber yet. Click and like if you want to.
Click and like. Click and like, bitches.
She had a absolute fucking meltdown, like level 10 meltdown. And I'm in my head, I'm thinking,
where's the pressure coming from? Because it's not coming from you.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, too, I was thinking, this is 3 days before, it was on Wednesday, and her Bible verse is on Friday. And I'm thinking, this is where we just do a couple run-throughs, and then the next day we do the same thing. So I was really taken aback by this, and it was a meltdown. Mm. And of course, David with his wet washcloth and is walking by and not doing anything but handing me a wet washcloth.
So those that don't know, David's answer to everything is a wet washcloth. But I have tested this theory, Jen, and it does work.
Damn you.
It does.
I hate you.
I'm sorry.
You're so pretty.
You're so pretty.
David in his fucking washcloth. I'm level 20 meltdown. She can't even talk. She's having all the things. So my solution and what I've done with her since she was a little tiny peanut is let's go and snuggle in mommy's room or in your room or your bed or wherever. Now more it's her bed because before she had one of those lifted beds and that wasn't happening.
But you need to get a boost up.
Yeah, I need to get a boost up and pray to God I can get out. It doesn't break.
You know, use them. It's their mesh.
Good thing we have our Springs. Easy spirits. So anyways, we go in there and she's talking to me about the schoolwork. And then all of a sudden, and I'm, you know, rubbing her head and I'm, you know, doing her back. And then we start singing, like just doing all the stuff mommy and Charlotte do together. And I can see her. She's, you know, that kind of, but yeah. it's calming down,
catching
right?
Her
and,
breath.
And then all of a sudden, she tells me that this one girl, Regina, you know, said this. And then Regina said this. And I look at her and I'm like, when did this happen? And she's like, well, one time it was when I was in second grade.
Oh, she's been carrying it with her.
And
oh,
I looked at her girl. And I was like, and it was something, you know, and I'm going to dive into something else while I'm saying this because this is also something that is very oof with me. They basically said that she needed to lose weight.
Oh.
Okay. And that's something that is very sensitive to me.
Me too.
And I know it's sensitive to you too. And basically this Regina said something about, well, it wouldn't hurt you to lose a few pounds. Now, mind you, she's in second grade. She's
second
8 years old.
Grade.
And she's, you know, I don't know, maybe the same size you're supposed to be in that. I mean, there's not.
There's no, in second grade.
Yeah, you're not
healthy
even
in second grade.
And I have my own issues with that. So immediately I went to, I'm going to fucking claw this little girl's
exactly.
eyes out. And
Mama Bear.
Yeah. And I was like, because that's a topic, that's a total topic that we could probably talk about for 4 days. It's very sensitive. It's very, I grew up with that. Like I just, and I was like, what? You didn't tell me? And she's like, well, I forgot. You know, so she said she forgot. So then now she's telling me the couple things that Regina part two fucking said to her. And I'm like, okay. And I'm listening to her and I'm teary-eyed. She can see it. And then the thing she does that makes my heart is she wipes my tears.
Oh
God, it kills me, right?
Oh.
And she's wiping my tears. And I said, okay, we're going to, you know what? Mommy and Daddy will worry about this right now. Mommy's got this. Don't you
Mommy's
worry.
Mommy's got this.
Don't think about this.
Give it to me.
You know, give it to me. We're not even going to talk about this anymore. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Next day, that night, actually, I wrote the principal this whole long email and, you know, we need to meet with you, blah, 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 blah. And now I realized it's been going on for a while, you know, and the 10 things she told me, you know, one was from a year ago. So it's at least been going on a year. And then come to find out, it's been going on since first grade. And a couple things, minimal. This year's been the worst. This year was the worst. And I do think there's some jealousy with the Regina part two. We have some other conflicts with other friends that are friends with Regina part two that are also friends with Charlotte. And it's challenging because one of the things Charlotte has said to me and one of Charlotte's really good friends is friends with her. And she said, and this one is I don't understand why she would want to be friends with someone who's so mean to me.
That right there. Wow.
That's what she said.
Wow.
And I didn't tell her that. She said that to me. I don't understand why my friend would want to be friends with someone who's so mean to me and so obviously mean to me. And I said, honey, I don't know. Let's just take a break from everybody. So we've been taking a break from some of those girls. And I couldn't even believe she said it. Sometimes she says stuff that wows me, that
yeah,
literally wows
it's
me.
It's so profound, and it's so simple, and it's so true.
And like you said, the innocence, she's looking at it logistically. There was no emotion in that sentence.
It was just
I
a
don't
statement.
Understand why yeah. my really good friend would want to be friends with a little girl who is
so mean to me,
openly mean to Charlotte. And come to find out, you know, under her breath, called her a little bitch at a private Christian school, you know, has talked about her weight, has talked about, you know, these things. And, you know, and I'm just like, fuck this shit. I'm done. So we had a conversation. I may have mentioned this before, and I don't know if I even told you, but so the principal got back to me, blah, 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 right? So I'm like, I really want to talk, da, da, da. And then I thought about it. And I thought, I am not the person to go and sit with the principal. I'm
no,
not the person.
Because you'll be too emotionally
I'm
charged.
Too emotional.
You need
I'm
Dave
riled
to
up.
Do it.
I'm going to climb the chair
yeah.
and just. So I said to David, honey, what do you think? Let me get your opinion, because I always tell him what to do. I wanted to get his opinion. Yeah. I'm like, do you want you and I to go together? Or would you like to go by yourself and talk to the principal? He's like, I'm going to go by myself. And I was like, okay, because he's factual. Yeah. He doesn't have that
Same
emotion.
Same with Garrett. He'll just, yep.
It's just how it is. And honestly, I felt the greatest knowing he was doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that is hard though, is like, I'm waiting for him to call me the second he's walking out. And it's like 5 o'clock.
He's not going to call until he comes home for dinner.
It's 5. He comes home for dinner and I'm like, hello. And he's like, yeah, it went good. Oh, no, no.
I'm going to need you to
We're going to pluck
like
this
and subscribe.
One. Like and subscribe. We're going to do this. And so he's like, yeah, it was good, you know, da-da-da. And I even wrote in my, I sent notes of what, just don't forget to say this. Don't, because he doesn't know everything, no, you know. And he's like, I looked at it. I think I got everything. So he did good, but I felt that that was the solution. And it hasn't changed. It changed for like a hot minute. It hasn't changed. And so now I'm like, I just want to remove her from all of that stuff. And so I'm trying to.
The thing is, it's not going to change.
I know.
Right? And what you have to count on, what you have to believe is that Charlotte will figure out how to navigate it with your love and your support and hopefully be open to talking about it and letting you know. Because this is preparation for the world. The world is terrible. And I hate saying that.
It is.
It's a shit box. And no matter where you go, you are going to carry yourself with you. So you focus on figuring out how to be a good person, figure out what matters to you, what makes you feel good. Like I always tell Eliana, friendship should be easy.
Yes.
The people around you should make you feel good about yourself. And that's it. And it when they don't, like Regina, and Eliana still is having trouble navigating that. But I'm like, you know, but when she talks about it, Eliana can acknowledge, yes, she wasn't being a nice friend. And so you know that now, Eliana. So you get to choose. Do you still want to be someone who you know with someone who you know is not a nice friend? And sometimes she still chooses yes. But you just have to.
Same with Charlotte.
Give them the strength to know that they can walk away from something that doesn't serve them. But shit, I'm still learning how to do that at 40 fucking 7 something years old.
100%. So, it's really, you're right. It's never going to change. And unfortunately in the school, like the high school world and even the life world, but let's just say it's only going to get worse. I mean, I just can't believe how young
it is.
And the stuff that's, you know, like being
it's
said.
It's malicious. Like it's mean.
It is mean. And it's hard. And once you start.
And it's nothing a little girl should be saying.
No. And then she'll say to me, like she, after that, you know, she'll say, you know, mommy, is my tummy showing? You know, those kind of things. And that just is, that's my own hot shit that same. I deal with and or have dealt with and still do. And then I hear it and I'm like, no. Mine was more like eighth, ninth, 10th grade. You know, I always had a really pretty face if I lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. A couple of her friends are very skinny. They're very skinny. And they always talk about how skinny they are.
Same with Eliana's.
You know, oh, I'm so skinny. Oh my God, I'm so skinny. These pants are so big. And I'm like, you're like 8. What? Why are you even talking about this kind of
and
stuff?
And why is skinny good?
Why is
skinny good? That doesn't mean it's good.
It doesn't mean it's good. Everyone says, oh, you're skinny or fat. Those are the only two things. It's like, no.
How about healthy?
Healthy.
How about strong?
Exactly. Strong. And I just tell Charlotte the same thing that you do. And this is why I think we just connect and you know, you and your husband are amazing parents. And you try to do all the things.
We try really
hard. We just
want
to be better than we were at that, you know, for us. You know what I mean? You always want to be better.
Same.
Like, I want, you know, Charlotte to have, not that my life was bad as a kid, but I want her to
carry my insecurities.
Yeah.
To know her worth, you know?
And I don't want people to even say she has a big butt. I don't want anyone to tell her she has a big belly. I don't want her friends to tell her how skinny they are, whether... Oh, you probably won't fit in my swimsuit if you borrow my swimsuit.
And that shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't
and
matter.
And why it matters in elementary school, it destroys
it
me.
It is. It kills me. And I just want to throw punch everybody.
I want, yeah.
But I do the same thing. I just want her to be kind again with grades. I'm like, are you doing your best? Did you do your best work today? If you did your best work, I will never ask you about it again. If you know that maybe we could have worked a little harder, fine. But were you a good friend? Were you kind? Did you share? Did you treat somebody the way they want to be treated? And like you said, Regina, you know, some days she wants to be Regina's friend or she wants to hang out. And one day she said to me, you know, Regina was so nice to me today, Mommy. And I said, what scares me—
because it's manipulative. Regina wanted something.
She wanted something. But what scares me the most about that is it shouldn't be Regina was nice to me today. It should be, hey, Mommy, it was really weird. Regina wasn't very nice to me today. I didn't know why.
Exactly.
It should be they're nice to you every day, and we're not celebrating the fact that your daughter is, my daughter is measuring your, and that just makes me have a whole—
it's like battered wife syndrome.
Yes. It's like, oh, well, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, oh, he was so nice to me today. We had a really good day. Fuck that. No.
Yeah, that should be the standard. That should be the given.
Yeah, and it's really hard, and I'm having a really hard time with some of her current friends, like I said, that, you know, still want to hang out. And it's just, and I'm not saying that, I just want to protect Charlotte as long as I can, because I know the world is brutal.
The world is brutal. And on the best day, the world is brutal.
Yeah, and she's so innocent, and she's so cute, and
she is pretty cute.
She's a cutie, and I squeeze her, and I want to put her on little bread, and I want to make her a little sandwich and just chew on her. She's so cute. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because I know we both deal with that
I don't deal with it well. Sometimes I say all the wrong things, probably.
Sure.
Sometimes I just, it's like you said, you want to protect your baby. You want to make sure they know their worth, because once they know their worth and truly believe their worth, right, none of that other stuff matters.
Yeah, and after that, I got her like this little decal for her mirror when she's doing all of her fucking skincare,
which
they do together. And it's like, you know, now she's FaceTiming to do skincare with her friends when they're not over.
Oh, that reminds me. I found this, sorry, sidebar. This summer camp for girls is one day. It's 2.5 hours. They get a facial. They make their. They
Where's
get skincare.
That?
We're gonna do it together.
Oh my God, Charlotte!
It's only $75. I'm in.
In. Yeah, okay, that's sorry. So funny. She's so into it. I just said to her, I'm thinking I rubbed dirt like on my.
Yeah.
I was like riding my bike.
I put toothpaste on my zits.
Yeah.
Now they have little freaking Hello Kitty patches.
Have you seen?
What? Yes.
Wait.
Have you seen the latest picture of Eliana? She's wearing it.
No, but have you seen the memes where the guys, like the dads will come out with these big gold stars like taped to their face and they're like,
yes,
look, I'm covering up a pimple.
Famous.
It's so crazy. Like we never had that. Oh, we never had any
no,
of that.
We put toothpaste and hope for the best.
Everything is, oh, there's Touchland. Oh, that's a dupe for Touchland.
Yeah.
If you go to Five Below, now I learned everything's a dupe. By the way, I never said dupe.
No, listen. Eliana had a friend over last night, and that's a whole Mean Girls situation, too. We have a new friend. We absolutely adore her, but the reason we have a new friend is because, and listen to the words that I am saying, mind you, this is fourth grade, because she got kicked out of her friend group and had to find a new friend group. So Eliana embraced her and brought her into the group. But like, you shouldn't be getting kicked out of friend groups
no!
at fourth grade.
No!
But this literally happened. So anyway,
so
the
terrible.
Friend is there and they're making slime because, of course, that's what the girls are doing. But then they're having like a fake open dialogue about shopping at Sephora, pretending to be Sephora shoppers.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't even put it into words what they were doing. But I'm like,
you also can't make this shit
what
up.
What is happening here?
What is happening?
Why is it happening?
Yeah, we...
But they were like, oh my God, I went into Sephora. And I bought. I'm like, no, you didn't go into Sephora and you didn't buy anything.
Oh my gosh, Charlotte will be like, oh, one day David was in
like
charge.
A fake YouTube video
David was
on
in
Sephora
charge of a birthday
a
party.
With no TikTok.
No tick, no talk. David was in charge of a birthday party. And after the birthday party, it was at the mall. They went to lunch at the mall. They went to the movies and then they went to the lunch at the, you know, the California Pizza
yes.
Kitchen adjacent to the mall.
Of course.
So when David goes to take Charlotte home, her other friend, a great little girl who's also named Charlotte and who's amazing and they're very similar and it's great. And they're like, she's like, Daddy, this is him telling me, Daddy, can we go walk around the mall? He's like, oh, that would be so fun. Let's do it. Me and two girls the same age. And they're like, can we go to Sephora?
Dave.
Can we go to Bath and Body Works? Can we go to Claire's?
Do they go to Bath and Body Works and mix all the samples together?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. Charlotte goes to the sink.
Yep.
And she, yep. with everything.
All of and them. Then
she
and has then to, makes this whole
yeah, makes
weird,
this whole concoction yep. of this schmutz. And he's like, so here I am. This is him telling, here I am.
And Dave is a man's man.
He is.
For those that don't know.
He is.
He is a man's man.
He is.
I can so picture. He would wear a sticker on his face if Charlotte put it on there.
He would.
He would.
And
I
he's
love
like,
him.
I can't wait to go into Claire's.
I cannot wait.
So he took him to
buy
like.
Buy two, get two free. Let's yes. do this.
They screw you so bad.
So they're, bad.
God, the marketing there, are, they're genius. They're like, buy three, get three free. Well, everything you buy is $25 worth a dollar max.
And then the girls don't understand how equal or lesser value. Yes. I want all three things to be the same value. Don't get three expensive things yeah. and three
and
things for $2.
Like lip balm.
No.
I'm like, you don't understand life.
You're not in the system.
You don't understand the system, but yeah. Like one day I walked out of there, I'm like, I just got hosed.
$96. Yeah, how did that happen?
It's buy three, get three free. Why is it $100? Oh my God, that's the same. It was $96
too. I'm telling you.
So David's like, yeah, I did this. We went into Sephora. I don't ever have to go back in there. He's been in Bath and Body with me. He didn't care, but he's like, going to Bath and Body. They want to go to Claire's. And there was one other thing they wanted to go into. They didn't have Ulta there. Some other thing. Anyways, he goes in there and I go, oh, they wanted to go to Starbucks.
Of course they did. These kids want Starbucks.
Charlotte.
They want Starbucks. They want sushi. What is wrong with this? These kids? We got McDonald's was like the treat.
It was a treat once a month.
Once a month. And it was like the best day
I had
ever.
Rice-A-Roni. I never have eaten Rice-A-Roni since I was a child.
No.
Because
and Hamburger Helper.
Hamburger Helper, make a great meal. So now she wants to go to Starbucks. Mommy, can we go to Starbucks and I can get a bagel and maybe buy my bagels and I'm going to get a thing.
I'm like,
no.
Did you bring money?
I know.
Where's your money? Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got money for all the holidays. You get money. You start paying for mommy. Oh, I forgot my money. Conveniently.
Yeah. Imagine that. I forgot mine too.
Me
Sorry.
Too. We have to pay in hugs. Yeah. Oh my God. But it's so crazy, like the dynamic, and it's very interesting, and it's very, I don't know, it's all learning. Every day I learn, but I love to talk to somebody who can relate. Our daughters are very similar in age and they're—
And taste.
And taste.
Yeah, they're literally in
so
sync.
So I'm like, hey, is she into this? Because, dude, Charlotte, I mean, she's, you know, yes, yes, yes. And almost everything is the same. The only thing I actually wish Charlotte was in that I want her to get in is sewing like Eliana is. Because she loves, like, making— Eliana, doesn't she love, like—
She's really actually good at it.
Yeah.
She's
and
making
you said,
dresses.
You know,
pajama pants,
I wish Charlotte
pillows.
Would show an interest, even if it's just a small thing.
But here's the thing. Huh. The minute that I get excited with Eliana about it and, like let's do an Etsy account, let's do this, and it's like, nope.
Well, you know what's
so
funny you say
is
that?
So to ignore her while she's doing it so that she'll continue to do it. Because the minute, like, I try to encourage it or— You know, then it becomes a chore and something mommy wants her to do.
Oh my gosh. And it's funny you say that when the slime thing is not going away anytime soon.
Oh, God.
But there was a period where she was making it all, even though we're buying it also on the freaking websites and all this shit, whatever.
Peachy babies,
dope slime,
yep.
all this shit. Dope
slime kitchen.
Dope slime kitchen. David's like, that's honestly the biggest waste of money because he's like, it's just one little container. It's like $40-something. They kind of do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they don't even let you do it yourself.
Yeah, and we, whatever. So anyways, which again, David, I was working and he was in charge of some party at Slime Kitchen. He's like, the fuck? I'm like, listen, I've taken many bullets for you. Paw
Take
Patrol,
one for the
live
team.
Action.
Yeah, let's talk about that one.
Let's talk about all the shit I've taken bullets, David. You can go to the party. You don't have to sit there the whole time. You can walk around.
Do you know what I did to Gary?
Oh, is it going to be good?
This is good. So, because we work really hard. I'm so tired all the time.
That's why you have to have easy
spirits.
Can't walk, your feet hurt too.
Looks like pop.
Feels like a speaker.
So the school had a dance. I told Gary it was a father-daughter dance. So he gets all dressed up. Eliana gets all dressed up. They go to the dance. I'm home drinking my wine, relaxing. I get a text from Gary. Turns out. Not a father-daughter dance.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my bad.
Well, I read it as father-daughter.
Confused.
Was it just a dance or was it?
It was a family. It was a dance. School dance for the
kids.
It
wasn't just father, daughter. It could be whatever.
No, it was a family dance. Like, it was very specifically, you're supposed to come with your family, with your kid, and you dance and you have fun. And
You've taken many a bullet for her.
I've taken many. But I have no shame in that. No. Father, daughter, you have to take. I made him take off work to go because, you know, he works late.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah. It's like, I could not bear to go.
No.
I could not. No. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be on. I didn't want to dance. I didn't want to do the Macarena or whatever they're doing. I did not do it.
What's the one where you...
All the things.
All the things. I was just like, no.
In my sweatsuit and my Crocs.
Hey, it's a $400 sweatsuit. You better wear that motherfucker.
Exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I read the flyer wrong. They had a blast. He will do anything for her. He loved it.
Of course. So will David.
Yeah.
And it's funny because David will give me shit if I get her something, but if he's on,
Exactly. If he does it, it's fine.
He's like, you know, and it's always like, you know, they went to Target or they went to Five Below is like the new craze.
Oh, it's the new thing. Yes.
And he'll be like, oh, she got this. And I'm like, whoa. We just told her she can't have anything else. And he's like, he said? She looked at me with those eyes, and I gave in.
She does have the big doughy eyes.
She does, and she knows how to work those things.
I mean, I give in to her, too.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, you want?
You're like, of course.
You want to swim with sharks? I don't really like the ocean, but I'll do it. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. I don't like sand and I definitely don't go in the water.
Yeah.
But I love being at the beach. I love the sound of the beach. I love the feel of the beach. But I do not.
You do not like sand.
I am petrified of the actual water. And Charlotte, so we went to Hawaii last year with her and last spring break because there was a really good deal like on Southwest and they were just starting to go to Hawaii. And David wanted to take her snorkeling on the little boat, you know, whale watching and then like a snorkel thing. And she's like begging me and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with them. I could not sleep the night before. In my head, I'm like, I'm just going to whale watch. I'm on the boat. I can watch them from the water. I don't need to be in the water. I have so much anxiety. So the guy, you know, they come down and the people are going and we're getting in line. I keep moving towards the back. I see Charlotte and David kind of going. They have the thing, whatever they have, the snorkel, whatever they're doing. I am hysterically crying.
Oh no.
I'm talking like body shaking. And the guy who's supposed to guide me in the water looks at me, he's like, you know you don't have to do this. And I was like, I do. I have to do
you
this.
You have to do it.
I have to do it. And he's like, I said, but just give me a minute. So I stood over there.
Oh, so sorry.
And Charlotte's like here, David are here. They're kind of like they went in the water, but they're over to the side. And David's like, you don't have to do this. And I'm like, I'm gonna do it. She wants me to do it. You want me to do it. I'm gonna do it. I won't probably be there very long. I go in the water. I'm still crying. She's like, Mommy,
babe,
you don't have to go.
It. Yeah.
And the guy, there's many guys that work on the boat that were kind of around. And he's like, you can see everything. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but I really.
That symbolizes motherhood.
I literally was sobbing almost the whole time. I went around like the little area. I didn't even go that far. When I say I could still, I was probably two arm lengths away from the boat. I mean, but I was in the middle of the ocean during the Titanic.
Right.
I was in the heart of it. I was
on the raft.
Petrified. I was sobbing. There's a photographer. He's taking all these pictures. I'm like, please don't even just go away from me. And I do. And then I looked at him and I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, Charlotte, are you good with daddy? Good with daddy. I went in. I got out. I'm still. And the guy's like, the guy who worked there, who's like 18, is like, I'm really proud of you for doing that. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to the bar.
I'm going to go to the bar.
Oh, my God. Now. And Charlotte still says, remember when you were crying, Mommy? I was really proud that you went in. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's interesting. Okay, so I want to ask one more thing. I want to talk about one more thing with you and see if you can. Do you think you can?
I can do it.
Okay. So Rachel and I have bonded over
many things.
Many things.
But one really hard one.
Is that neither one of us could have any more kids. And that's something that I love you for because I know It's a club that you don't want to be a part of. And it's something that we have talked about.
Cried about. Yelled about.
And people don't understand it. And nobody, I don't want anyone to understand it. I don't want anyone to understand how hard it is and what a letdown it is and how hard it is to be around people who are pregnant and how hard it is to see all the things. And for myself, David and I have been trying for, you know, 7 years. And honestly, as old as I am, I still believe we're going to have another baby. And I know in my brain it's not going to happen, but my heart isn't there. It isn't there. And I would say, would you say that is similar for you? Or are you, where are you at? Besides the fact that it's hard.
It's impossible.
It is a club you don't want to be a part of.
Even yesterday, I was just asked why. You know, and I think, you know, people try to make small talk or conversation or whatever, but never ask somebody why they only have one child or when they're having another. You do not know what people are walking through.
No, and it's one thing that's opened my eyes is how before, because a topic that is hard, right, for everybody has their own topic, you don't realize how many times people say, like, you would never say to somebody, oh, you look like you've gained a lot of weight, right? You wouldn't say that. And you always joke with like a woman if she looks like maybe she's gotten heavier. Are you pregnant? But you know how many people will say,
why don't you want to have Charlotte a younger sister or brother? Why didn't you want to have another one?
Why did you guys not want to have? Is she your only one?
Exactly.
Why so is that? And you didn't realize it before because maybe you had said like, oh, you guys just have one. Maybe. I don't know what I said back, you know, 10 years ago, 15
but
years ago. I have no idea.
It's different.
But now I am. And just the other day, and it's a person who's amazing, and she didn't even know what she's saying. She doesn't know my story. She doesn't know shit. She doesn't need to know my story. But she's like, oh, sounds like you and David are definitely ready for more kids. And I wanted to say, I didn't say anything, is what I said.
I have lots of different responses. And sometimes I just kind of placate it and ignore it. Sometimes I say one is enough. Sometimes I say Eliana is all we were blessed with. And sometimes I say, well, you know what? We refinanced our house twice, and after about 10 miscarriages and several failed IVFs, we just don't have it in us.
Yeah.
And go fuck off.
And fuck off.
And fuck off.
And that's, yeah. And we have, now we didn't do that, but we did get in a lot of debt.
There, you know, it's not a comparison.
No, but I mean, we did.
What it is, is heartbreaking when and Eliana was a miracle baby. We didn't even, you know, and yes, I'm blessed, and yes, she's healthy, and yes, we know all that, but that does not take away from the fact that we wanted more. Yes, she's perfect. Yes, our family is perfect. That does not mean we did not want more. And so when people will tell you, oh, well, you're blessed with one, so fucking what?
Yep.
It both things can be true.
Yep.
And no one gets to judge my family or understand but me. And it's really hurtful when people say these things.
It really is. And that's why I think, I don't want to say that I feel that we connected in a different way once I kind of realized without asking, without like just us having our relationship and just kind of realized like, oh, she, you know, and maybe a question came up, but you and I almost have the exact same situation. Yeah. And as much as I don't want anyone to be a part of this club,
it feels good to have someone you can talk to.
It feels good to somebody that I love and I trust with that information, and I hope you feel the same way.
I do.
Because,
and I've called you crying before.
Oh yeah.
Because
it's hard.
It's hard.
It's really hard. And people talk about how amazing Charlotte is. It's like, I know that, but Charlotte isn't even in this equation when we're talking about this.
No.
Like. And, you know, and it's so hard when Charlotte's like, Mommy, I really want another, I want a little sister. She wants a brother or a sister. Before it was only
same,
a sister.
Same.
Now she's like opposed to not hating boys, apparently. And she's
same,
like,
literally the same. And we haven't actually talked about that, but they both always said they wanted a little sister and to be the older sister. And now I swear to God, just last week, she's like, I'll even take a younger brother. But now here's the thing, and this is what I haven't navigated yet. We haven't actually spoken about this yet. So this is new territory because, you know, I have realized at this point that I cannot have a baby again. And for, you know, hindsight 2020, I wish 5 years ago we would have went the surrogacy route, but we can't go back in time. Whether it was egg donors or whatever, but there's no money left.
Right.
There's no money left to do anything.
Right.
So
the money tree has not provided.
There's nothing left. But up until a week ago, Gary was adamant about not adopting and not fostering. And recently we've been starting to talk about that. I think more on the foster side. And it was actually Eliana that asked us.
Really?
Yeah. And she has never talked about that before. She's always just talked about, you know, wanting to have a sister. And then recently a brother would be okay too, apparently.
Yeah. Like, we'll give whatever we can get.
But she literally said, well, okay, if we're not going to have a baby, can we adopt or foster?
Wow.
And that's never came up before. And I had said, no, baby, Daddy and I have talked about that. And it's not something that we're wanting to do right now. But I talked to Gary about it that night. And he said, well, let's look into it.
Yeah, David and I have talked about it. So about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I made David go. I think I told you this, and I had to go. The last thing that happened was during COVID. That was very, very hard because it was during stupid COVID. And, you know, David couldn't be there. So we had a lot of bad things happen during that time in fertility world. And it was hard because he couldn't be there with me. Mm-hmm. And I was by myself. So I really kind of went into a sad place. I get depressed, but in a different way. I just block out that one thing. I compartmentalize it and I continue on. You will never know that I'm sad until I still cry in my car every single day for 3 to 5 minutes about not having a baby. You know that. Most people don't know that. I cry every single fucking day. And especially if I'm around a lot of pregnant, baby shower, all this shit. I can't do it. And I'm selfish about it. And I'm fine with it. Because guess what? That's how I handle it. And it's fine. But I did have to go see a therapist who specialized in that for a while, fertility and loss and all of that. And about a year and a half ago, I told David, please come with me because I want us to talk to the therapist and say that we understand that we're not going to have another baby. He went with me, but he couldn't say that. Couldn't say it. $250 an hour. And I was like, I need you to say it with her. She's going to talk you through. I told her what my intention was because I'm like, I have hope and I will have hope till my last breath. I will have hope until my last fucking breath that somehow a baby from a goose will come and land on our doorstep. And we've talked about adoption. We've talked about fostering. And David also is like, I'm not there yet. So maybe that will change. I don't know.
Not to make it funny, but the ironic thing is then there's a new movie out. It's actually really good, called Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg. And we watched that.
Oh, I just saw the thing about
it. And Eliana's like, okay, we're not fostering.
We're done. This conversation's tapped. We're done. Out.
But I think we're going to consider that. So we've actually reached out to an agency. I have a friend who is has two babies that he's fostering to adopt, or that's his hope. And, you know, one of the rules is you have to have a room for them. They cannot share a room. Eliana wants, you know, she, just like Charlotte, they want them in their room. So we'll have to figure out what to do with my office and we'll make that the room. But I think we're going to
pursue it.
We're really talking about it.
That's great.
As of 2 weeks, we've
kind no, of that's okay because it was such a dead negative. David is a dead negative. He reasons.
David was 100% dead negative.
Yeah. And there's a couple of factors with that is what bothers me too, besides all the logistics, body, all of those things, is everything is so fucking expensive. So to know that we can't have a baby, we've already gone, you know, the IVF, we've already done, you know, it's so expensive. We're still paying on it. We're still like, you know, I'm still a prostitute on the corner trying to pay for it, selling kidneys and plasma. I love you. And anyways, but also adoption. Now, foster to adopt, I have learned, is the way to go because because I have a couple clients that have done it and they were explaining it to me, because adoption itself is anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 minimum. And you go back to that whole thing, like there's all these kids that don't have it. So David's not there yet. I don't know, because I still have hope and I will have hope till my last breath. I have so much hope. I know in my...
I wish I would have done things differently.
Me too. And I don't, you know, I really don't believe in regrets. And I know...
I have anger about it though. And I'm mad. I'm mad that we didn't try harder sooner or do different things sooner.
Put the eggs, you know, I didn't know anything about that in your 30s, like put the eggs away so they're good and, you know, all the things that,
you don't know.
And, but it sucks. And it sucks because when David has all these cousins and they're all, you know, they're just in their 30s and they're all having baby showers and they're all doing this stuff. And it's like, I'm so happy for you. But to stand in a room with you is really challenging. One of my best friends in the world, Erica, she did not tell me for almost 4 months that she was pregnant because she knew that my heart would be broken. Not because I don't love her like a sister, but because I was in the weeds with all the IVF stuff and all this stuff. And we were blessed with Charlotte. Charlotte wasn't any of those things.
Yeah,
Charlotte wasn't any of those things. And that's another thing.
Eliana was a honeymoon baby.
You know, it's like, it's just, it happened and it happened like we didn't
so
even try.
Easily.
It was so easy.
It just was
so
there.
I was so naive to think that, oh, when we decide that we can do another one, it's just going to be like bibbidi bobbidi boo. And it's not. And it sucks. And it's a club that I hate. It's a club that I
have a lot of jealousy.
Oh, so much jealousy.
I hate that about me.
Yep.
But I have a lot of jealousy with, and then, you know, with people who maybe aren't the best parents, but they have.
Oh, yes.
So, and it's just.
Oh, yes. I want to tell you about this week I had. I'm sure I've told you this. This was a week in my life where.
And I hate myself for being jealous.
Me too. But. I don't even like jealousy. But honestly, when it comes to this, I can truly say I am jealous for several different reasons. And it's hard. But this was one of the weeks. I'm not fucking making this shit up when I tell you. This was doing the trial IVF. In the weeds with it all, okay? I had two new clients, kind of rare. Usually it's like one, you know, one or two a month. Sometimes, but that week I had two new clients. I go in, chat with them before I'm going to go to the house, and this is right when we're doing all this stuff. And I am, you know, miscarriage, you know, all the things that are heartbreaking. And I walk in and I'm asking her, what are we working on? She tells me so many different things. And she walk in and she's like, 8.5 months pregnant, okay? Which already is like, you're just like, God, you know, fine. No big deal. I was fine with it. And I said, she's like, actually, I really want help setting up the nursery. Okay. Again, I go in, I leave. It's fine. She's super nice. There was not one horrible thing. I just wasn't mentally prepared, okay? I'm not making this story up. I get in my car. Of course, I cry. Of course, I cry to David later on. And I just want to say this. David is a lot of things, and sometimes I just, you know, I joke with him, I just want to put a pillow on your face, but when it comes to this, he is the most awesome person in the world. He knows that I'm not okay, he knows. He knows, he doesn't say anything, he'll just hug me or whatever, and he's awesome, and he knows it because I tell him all the time, this is something that I will not stop crying about. I'm crying talking to you about it. I cry in the car, whatever. The next day, or 2 days later, I go to a client that I've been going to for 5 years at the time. She's talking to me. We're talking. We're chit-chatting. She has, you know, two kids, an older boy that was a teenager and then like almost Charlotte's age at the time, maybe like 4 or 5 years old. She's like, Jen, did I tell you? And I'm like, what? She's like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, oh my gosh, congratulations. She's like, yeah, like 12 weeks. You know, my husband was going to go get a vasectomy and he missed his appointment. And blah, 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 blah. And I look and I just was like, cool. And I went in the back room, wherever I was working, whatever I did, I went in the restroom. I sobbed for like 5 minutes because I'm like, he missed his vasectomy appointment and you get fucking pregnant? Like, who's fucking with me here? Okay. So you think, okay, Monday, Wednesday, now we're on a Friday, let's say hypothetically, same week. I cannot make this shit up. Go to a client who I've been helping for 6 months. She just had redone her kid, or like a year, actually.
And the fucked up thing is we should be happy for
so them. Happy. That's the part that sucks. I should be elated that someone is so blessed.
Yeah.
And you didn't know, whatever, whatever. But inside, I'm just dying.
And I hate that part.
But this one was also hard. She has a baby girl that's like months old. Then she has like, let's say a 5-year-old, 4-year-old. And the baby that's like 7 months old, we're now starting to transition some of the stuff that was on the counters. And, you know, you just kind of whatever. So she had just redone her kitchen, gutted the whole thing, started fresh. I'm going to set up her kitchen. But I was like, hey, you have all these like prenatal vitamins still out. Do we want to? And she's like, oh, I didn't tell you. And she goes, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Is I totally went off. I changed my birth control for like 2 weeks. Now people are very open with me. It just, I changed my birth control for like 2 weeks and I got pregnant. I'm totally pregnant. So I'm going to leave them out. And I actually looked at her and I literally a sob came out of my eyeballs and I looked and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm really happy for you. I'm just going through my own stuff and I'm really sorry. And she's like, oh, it's okay, sweetheart. You know, whatever. And I'm like, I just one big sob. I went in the bathroom and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I feel like sometimes that's like a test, right? You know, it was like, how can you handle it? And I remember thinking that was one of the hardest weeks work-wise of just all these different scenarios. And I'm like, David and I can't do any, none of those things would
none happen. None of them.
Nothing. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because I'm an only child. I didn't want Charlotte to be an only child. I imagined us having like 3 or 4 kids. I imagined, so what do I do in that place? I keep getting fucking puppies. And that's why we have 4 fucking dogs. Because every time I'm depressed, I guess my term of depression, I see a rescue dog that I have to save. That's a puppy. And one day I'm like, David, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We should not have 4 dogs. It's too much. But we saved a puppy and that's all we can do. And he's like, I understand, but no more fucking dogs for a bit. No more dogs, no more goldfish. Nothing is coming into our house until, unfortunately, some of the dogs leave the building. But yeah, it's been a really hard thing. And I love that we've bonded over this because it is a very lonely world and people don't understand. I had a friend say to me, and she's one of my really good friends and I've never told her this, but I remember she said, when I had to go to the hospital during COVID, you know, not good things were happening in terms of pregnancy that wasn't going to stay. And she said, good luck. And she put an exclamation point. And I remember I had to talk to the therapist about that because I was like, who says that? There was only like 3 people knew that I was going to the hospital. And she wrote, good luck. And it was like, good luck. You know, and she probably didn't even think anything of it. She doesn't have any kids. Never thought anything of it. But I'll tell you to this day, and that was, you know, during COVID, so 5 years ago, I still remember that text. And I still remember thinking that was the worst thing you could say to me. The worst thing in the world. And I know you've had experiences. I know you've had things that I know about. I know you've had things that I don't know about. And you're just an amazing mom, an amazing person. And I know that collectively, we share this sadness, but I wouldn't want to share it with anyone else because you're the perfect person to share this with because you understand. And people don't understand.
People don't understand.
My bestest friends.
No,
don't understand.
And it's like to your point, she was trying to send you good luck. Had no idea. That is the worst thing that you could have possibly said at that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not gonna say it now, but you know what I went through with my last one. And the way I was treated with such practicalities. And I'm not ready to talk about that
openly here.
But had I not been able to talk to you about it. People need people and you need to feel seen and you need to be understood and you need to be protected. And like you said, it's a club nobody wants to be in, but you have to be able to share some of it. Otherwise it'll kill you.
Yeah. But I don't really talk to my friends about it.
No,
like my like, you know, everyday friends.
Because, you know, they're going to say, oh, but you're blessed with Charlotte. And, you know, how would you afford another one?
Exactly. That's my mother.
Oh, this is...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We won't even talk about that.
We won't even go there.
The 2 things she says to me, God is telling you something. Why don't you listen? And you couldn't even... You barely can afford Charlotte.
Yeah.
And same. I'm like...
That's what I was alluding to with the practicality.
Yes.
It happens. And don't you dare fucking tell me it happens for a reason.
Yep. Don't tell me that. If you want to tell me that, I'm going to tell you a million things and I'm going to... Just rip your eyes out.
I'm going to shove my easy spirit up your ass.
My glitter. By the way, you guys, it's mesh and it has glitter and it's an easy spirit.
It's very breathable.
And it's so breathable.
They're my orthopedics.
I have an insert that's working wonders to my plantar fasciitis.
I can give you referrals to my podiatrist.
She really can. She's still going to hang on to those heels, though, because we don't want to kill all the dreams.
It's a shrine. But I've decided I'm saving them for Eliana.
I know.
At least so she can know that I once was not mid, which is what she calls me. She's like, Mom, you're so mid.
Mid. I know. What is the language? I don't know. Whatever. We can't talk about this forever. I appreciate you talking with me.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you with being my person in my life. I appreciate you with you talking to me about this. I appreciate all of the things. I know that our time today has come, and I know we're ending on a sad note, but I love you dearly, and I love you for a thousand reasons. I can razz you about your shoes and your spending and all of the things that we can dive into, and we do, and we joke about, and yes, I am pretty.
You're so pretty.
But I thank you for coming
today. I love you immensely.
I'm right back at you, and I thank you for sharing this sucky topic, but it is something that I wanted to bring up very quickly. And just know that you're not alone out there, you know, so please, we've all have our own stories, and Rachel and I have a story that's very parallel, and I think that's where our connection also is the strongest that it is. But if anyone has it, just know you're not alone, and I thank you for listening. I look forward to the next episode. Please like and subscribe. Please leave any feedback. If you guys have questions, reach out to me on my social. You know all the information, and it's on it. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at @Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.